This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Starting to wrap things up, we're going to get done just a little bit early tonight. We've got SLU basketball. They match up against St. Joseph's in Philadelphia. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr., they are there, and they've got the call of the game. Right now, it's time for our Friday conversation with our very good friend, Kevin Wheeler. Kevin, good to see you.
Good to see you, buddy.
You think Rammer and Earl have got a Philly cheesesteak?
Oh, yeah, I'd say they probably have had one in the last 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, pretty good chance.
They're in Philly tonight. I don't know why you'd be there, because you're in the city too, right? St. Joe's in the city. So yeah, if you're in the city, you got cheesesteaks anywhere.
The best cheesesteak I've ever had in my life. It's courtesy of Jim Hayes. So inside of the Phillies clubhouse, there's a chef in there that makes cheesesteaks. And Jim Hayes loves them. And this past year, I was with the team when their trip to Philadelphia. And Jim went into the Phillies clubhouse and he bought a Philly cheesesteak for everybody between the two broadcasts. So, and we're everybody. So if you were a production person on the TV side,
that's awesome.
He came up with just bags and bags of Philly cheesesteaks, and it was so flippin' delicious.
Philly cheesesteaks are good no matter where you get them. They're better in Philly.
Yeah. 100%.
No matter where you're getting them. But the local places, obviously that's more of a local flavor.
Yeah.
That's not a chain restaurant. It's just the way they do it. The way they season it, the oils that they use, it's just...
It was different. That was my first time in Philadelphia, so I'd never had a true Philly
My mom's
Philly
family's from Philly, so we went there every spring and sometimes every winter, too, so we had plenty. You getting the Philly cheesesteaks, and then they're not sub sandwiches, they're hoagies.
Yes.
Getting hoagies, man.
Really good, really good. All right, so we always talk on Friday, kind of look back at the week that was for the Cardinals, and this past week... A little bit more smoke coming out when it comes to a possible Nolan Arenado trade. I still think everything is being held up by the Alex Bregman situation, but it feels like once that Bregman thing gets figured out, or maybe if a team like Boston says, you know what, Bregman's not coming to us, so we got to get to our plan B, that something's going to happen. I don't think Nolan Arenado reports to Jupiter. I could be wrong.
I'm not hoping for that, but there's still plenty of time before position players report.
Yeah.
You know, pitchers and catchers are this week. Position players are, 4 days after that?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a little bit more space. I don't think it's crazy that there's a move before that. I'm not going like crazy raging hot take here, but kind of a half hot take. Can Alex Bregman just make up his mind?
No kidding.
I mean, the offers are not changing significantly between now and a week from now.
Right.
You've got, from what I understand in the reports, you've got Toronto making a big offer. The large years at the large dollars. Sounds like Detroit might be one of those teams, too, that's got like a 6-year offer out there, but maybe not. But it sounds like maybe. We know that the Houston offer was in that range. We don't know if it still is, because Houston people are, you know, talking about him in the past tense when they're doing public speaking engagements. And then we know that the Red Sox and the Cubs are offering shorter term deals at the high AAV. Well, make a call. Make a call. What are you going to get? An extra $20? I'm being sarcastic. It's not like you're going
to... That's what it would be to us.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, nobody's going to be like, well, we've been at 150, but we're going to jump to 200 a week before spring training.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Make a call, because he is legitimately, and I know he can't totally consider this, but he's holding back a lot of other players. Not just the Arenado thing, which is what we care about, but there are a bunch of free agents out there that would like jobs, and they may not be available to those guys until the teams know whether they're in or out on Bregman.
Yeah, 100%. You got that right. And like, I read last night that Houston had added a little bit of money to their deal, but it wasn't enough to make a difference.
Right.
So that's the point you're making. Houston pushed themselves a little bit further.
If anything.
Yeah, but it's not enough to make a difference. And, man.
And if you don't want to be in Toronto or Detroit or whatever, don't lead them on either.
Right, tell them.
You want to be in Boston, take the deal.
Yeah.
They're not going to go from 3 to 6 years, right? If where you want to be is Chicago with the Cubs or Boston, they're not going to double the years on their offers. You probably could get from 6 to 7 on Toronto. They seem to be a little extra urgent compared to other teams. But if you don't want to go to Toronto, their presence is not going to make those other teams double the length of what they're offering you.
I would not give him a 6 or 7 year deal.
I'd give him 6 if I'm the right team. If I'm Toronto, I'd probably do it. You know, honestly, if I'm Detroit, I'd probably do it. You know, if you're looking at it, again, you know, I grew up in Detroit, so I've got my Tigers roots. You have a 2 year window left where you know you have Tarik Skubal. Maybe take the run. You got one of the best pitchers in baseball. You've got a really great, you got one of the top 3 farm systems in baseball. You got a good young team. You made the playoffs last year. You just brought Jack Flaherty back. Maybe you do it. The only big contract they have is Javi Baez.
Sure.
And it's a terrible contract.
Terrible deal.
Which is why they're probably scared of a guy like Bregman. But Bregman is not Baez. Bregman will age better than Baez. Baez is an athletic, dynamic, at his peak, was an athletic, dynamic, power player with no discipline and who swings at everything. And the slower your bat gets, the worse you get. Bregman's not that. He's a disciplined hitter. The strike zone judgment's not going to go away. He'll age better than a guy like Javi Baez would, just from the profile alone. So I get it. I understand the concern. But by the time you get to the worrisome years there, Baez's contract will be gone. I know they want to pay Skubal, but you may not get that chance.
Right. It's going to be tough.
If he gets to free agency, he might be a $45 million a year pitcher, sure, if he's healthy. So why not make a little push? Now, I don't know that they will, but I'm saying they could. I think the Cubs are where they are. They're going to do it on their terms. Boston's going to do it on their terms. Boston doesn't need it, especially when they know that they could turn around and trade for Arenado at almost no cost.
Yeah, I almost feel like the reports of the re-engagement with Boston, as much as that might end up happening, it's also to
Boston
show
telling Bregman to get off the can.
Right. Like
get moving, buddy.
We've got other options here.
Yeah.
And they should, because it just, I complained about this the other day. This year's hot stove for Cardinal fans was already going to be a little bit different because of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But this situation with Bregman has just destroyed anything that's fun about the offseason.
Yeah, and look, I understand a player has to do what's right for them. So, I mean, that's why I'm saying it's only a semi-hot take. I'm not saying that Bregman is responsible for the futures of other players or anything like that. And let's be honest, part of this is also on Nolan. He had a chance to accept the deal to a pretty good situation and didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is not all on Bregman, but we all have been talking about this for more than a month now, that Bregman's decision will probably determine whether or not anything can happen.
Is Jose Altuve willing to go play left field so Nolan Arenado can play third?
It sounds like it.
He's willing to do it for Bregman. Yeah. Is he willing to do it for,
I mean, it sounds like he might do it even Arenado, if they don't bring Bregman back.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's been declining defensively. So, you know, Houston's a team that's like, whatever they can do to stay, you know, at the top of their game and wherever their strengths are. They're a little thinner in the outfield as far as ability. So that might also help them there, because they play Yordan Alvarez out there and they're better off with him at DH.
Cardinals do make 2 small moves over the last 2 days. Let's go through both of them. We'll start with the move from yesterday. Utility man Michael Hellman comes in. The Twins needed some spots on their 40-man roster, so they're going to move on from Hellman. They're able to work out a deal with the Cardinals. They get some cash considerations in that. Hellman's an interesting guy. He can play all over the field. In the minor leagues, he played every position but catcher. He had some really solid minor league seasons.
Yeah.
Was an older AAA guy, made his major league debut last year, very limited time. Looked fine. John Mozeliak has spoken all offseason about the desire to add to the bullpen and to add a right-handed bat that can play in the outfield. So he's done both those things over the last couple days. But specifically to Hellman, this is your last guy on the 40-man roster. This is a guy with minor league options, so he might be earmarked for Memphis. But he's also somebody that, if he has a nice spring or if something happens during the season, he could do something on the major league roster.
Well, who's the bench today? So let's just count. Let's just start with the assumption for this argument, for this conversation, that Herrera is the starting catcher.
Okay.
So Pajes is on the bench.
Right.
But one of them is. So there's going to be 4 bench spots. One will be a catcher, right?
Yes.
Okay. So who else is on the bench for sure? Like, no questions asked, regardless of what happens in spring training, who else is on the bench?
Well, depending on how you view it, either Siani or Donovan, essentially, because
I'm counting Donovan as a starter.
Okay. So
no matter how it goes. So let's call it Siani.
Okay. Let's call it Siani. Yep.
All right. After that, who else is on there?
I want it to be Sajacy. I'm not sure if he's there with Nolan Arenado on the roster.
But he should only be there if he's going to play.
Right.
He's not going to. I was having this conversation on Twitter with somebody, and I thought it'd be a good one to bring up. So JC's not going to be here if he's not going to play regularly.
Right.
He's not going to be here in a setting where he's going to get 150 at-bats this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play at AAA if they don't have 400 at-bats for him. Okay? So if he's here, he's going to be playing regularly. If he's not playing regularly, he's not going to be here.
Yes.
Okay. But let's count him.
Okay.
All right? Who's the fourth guy?
There's a few in there. You can look at a Luken Baker. You can look at a Jose Fermin.
Right, but what is Baker? He's a one-trick pony.
Yeah, right-handed
bat. He's a right-handed bat against left-handed pitching. Sure. He can't play defense. He can't run. He gives you no late-inning versatility.
Yeah.
Right? And by the way, neither does Siani. He gives you one thing, outfield.
Do we consider Burleson bench or DH?
I'm thinking Burleson DH in this scenario.
All right.
So is it Fermin? A no-bat guy who can't play the outfield and doesn't run very well? Is it Jose Barrero, who at one time was a pretty good prospect, who's actually very physically gifted.
Right.
But
they brought him in for a reason.
Right. He could be that guy. And he's a right-handed bat. He's got a little pop, but he's not a good hitter. Or it could be a guy like Hellman, right? And Hellman covers a lot of things because he can play. Not only does he play outfield, he plays center field.
Mm-hmm.
He runs. He's a good runner. So his primary positions have been second base and center field. He's played a lot of third. He's played a bunch of short. He's played corner outfield. As you mentioned, he's touched first base.
Right.
But mostly second base and center. But the fact that he can play center field separates him from Baker, from Fermin, from all those guys. And the fact that he has some time at shortstop.
Right. Because the team has to have somebody who can play shortstop when Wynn isn't in there.
Yeah. Even if it's just a day.
Right.
So, you know, that separates too, because Fermin's not a shortstop.
No.
No, and Barrero was a shortstop, and he can play there, but the Reds moved him to the outfield.
And so JC at some point will be that guy.
And so JC can play some shortstop too, right, which is my point. If he's here, though, it's going to be as a regular player, maybe not every day, but he'll play probably at least four times a week he's here.
He'll be the guy that if Wynn needs a day, he'll go play shortstop.
Probably, yes, because he's got extensive shortstop time in the minors.
Yeah, and he looked fine there last year.
He's not good at it, but he's fine.
Yeah.
He's a fine fill-in. Fill-ins don't have to be elite.
No.
They just have to be fine, and he's a good hitter. So I don't know that Hellman's going to have to win a job. You're not bringing him in and saying, you're on our team. But he's more intriguing than almost all of those other candidates for that last bench spot because he can play six positions and he can run and he's got some pop. He had a 2040 season in 2022. That's not that long ago.
No.
And if you're asking why he didn't follow that up in 23 or 24, well, 23, he suffered a shoulder dislocation in May and it ended his season. And so his numbers are just incomplete that year. He's got a month's worth of numbers. And then last year, his numbers at AAA were fine. He had an 800 OPS at AAA last year.
Yeah.
It was only 70 games, but he had a hamstring injury mixed in there. And this is the point, is that this guy, Hellman, is not a future regular. You're not counting on him to be a big-time player. But if he is the 150 at-bat guy who can play six positions, bat right-handed, run, and maybe occasionally get into one, that's a good bench player.
This is a pretty good...
He can show that he's able to hit major league pitching.
You mentioned all the boxes he checks off for being the 40th guy on the 40-man roster who's picked up for absolutely nothing a week before pitchers and catchers report. Like, that's a nice job on a roster addition.
The worst part about this, I had a person on Twitter point this out to me, which is true. The worst part about it is this is like the biggest thing they've done.
Right.
Like that move and the one we'll talk about in a second. So,
in a standard offseason, we're barely talking about
this. They're still, those are the moves you still make in a standard offseason, but they're not the only things that you have to discuss, and these have been the only things we've had to discuss.
Another interesting guy brought in on a minor league deal, invite to major league spring training, so he doesn't have a 40-man spot for now, pitcher Nick Anderson. He came up with the Tampa Bay Rays, has deep connections to Heim Bloom.
Yeah.
So Bloom's
last year there was 2019, and that was his rookie year.
Bloom's fingerprints are all over this. In 2019, split time between a couple teams, and he was really good in terms of strikeouts with the 110 strikeouts and 65 innings. has had some injuries. The strikeout per nine number has gone down in recent years, but he hasn't been terrible. Last year, he had a 4-plus ERA with Kansas City, but the year before...
the peripheral sucked last year. Yeah. His expected ERA was over 5, and his fielding independent was over 5.
Yeah, 5.07.
Yeah.
2023, had a 3 ERA with Atlanta.
But 2023, he was okay.
Yeah, that's the point I'm making.
He was okay. He had a 3 ERA, and the expected and the fielding independent were both around that. So, and a 9 strikeouts per 9, which is, again, perfectly fine. It's crazy because, like, in 2019 and 2020, he was like 14, 15 strikeouts per 9. But he's had a lot of arm problems, and I that's what's worrisome. But, again, it's a lottery ticket. It's a minor league contract, and it's only $1 million if he's in the major leagues. It's a lottery ticket, and there's nothing wrong with this. If he has a good spring and he's healthy, he'll make the team.
Yeah, it feels like he's going to be given every opportunity to make the team.
If this guy is just healthy, because if you look at his profile, he throws hard. Now, he's not 100 mile an hour, but he's a guy that throws 95, right? But when he was healthy, he had one of the best curveballs in baseball. It is an out pitch. It is filthy. And even last year, in a down year, opponents only hit like 200 against his curveball. The year before that, it was like 150, 160, right? And back in the day, you didn't hit anything against it. So that's the problem, is your best moves are lottery tickets, right? Both Helman and Anderson are lottery tickets. There's zero risk involved. There's no downside. It's just, those are your best moves so far. Yeah. which it's a different story, but it is what it is. We knew this was going to be the offseason.
And basically the offseason's over.
Yeah, they never BS'd us about this.
No, they did not.
They told us what was happening. Yeah. And, every time, it's just a fun thing. You and Bernie talked about it on the Gas House Gang today, and I was going at it with people on Twitter last night. Like, every time we talk about or post about anything related to, like, these kinds of moves, which are just fringe roster moves, right? You just get the vitriol and the anger, and we get to hear, like, who cares? This team sucks or whatever. And I was telling some guys last night, like, don't yell at us. We didn't do it. If you want to be mad at the team, tweet at them. If you want to be mad at the team, don't go or don't watch. That's all fine. Nobody's saying that you should be totally happy and laying rose petals at their feet. We're just talking about what's happening. Because we have to live in the real world. Like, here is what it is, and here's what we're talking about. When you're yelling at us, me, you, Bernie, Tom, Derek Gould, whatever, you're not serving any purpose. You're just being a child. You're just having a fit.
If you want to frustrate us, you might be doing that.
Yeah, well, they are. And here's what I said. I wanted to run this analogy by you. So this is the analogy I used on Twitter today. You might have seen it. But let's say you and I are friends.
Never could happen.
And our other friend is Chris Ranji.
Okay.
And Chris did something that really pissed you off.
Of course, that would never happen.
I mean, like, really, like, in a serious way, though. Yeah. Like, he cost you $500 or $1,000 with just a bad decision, right? You're mad at him. But when we're together, every time his name comes up, you complain to me. You vent to me. How long do you think before I get tired of that and say, stop complaining about him to me and go talk to him?
Like, the second time.
Yes! That's what's happening. Yeah. In this scenario, the Cardinals are Ranji. You're in our position.
Yeah.
And I'm in our position and you're the fan. Like, we all, on a human level, we all understand how stupid and annoying that would be. Don't put people in the middle of it. We're just the messengers, man. Yelling at me or you or anybody else, or, by the way, just constantly complaining about the same thing doesn't fix a damn thing.
Right. Tweeting on social media how you hope the fans don't show up and I'm not going to pay attention to a single game. And I've never been less interested in a season in my life. This, stop tweeting.
Yeah.
Stop
and again,
tweeting.
All of that's fine. You're not wrong. Your take on it is your take. There's nothing wrong with that. But one guy tweeted at me today. I've never seen the club in such crisis. I've been a Cardinals fan for over 60 years. You think this is worse than the 70s?
Yeah.
You think this is worse than the early 90s? I mean, it's the same as those at worst. Right. It's an 83 win team.
I mean, the 90s when the brewery wanted to get rid of the club and they were doing everything to not win.
Yeah. And to anybody that's wanting to tell me that they're not going to watch or show up, hey, this is not an airport. You do not have to announce your departures. you can just depart.
Right. And if they're better than we expect them to, you're allowed to hop back
on. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, every fan that's irritated and frustrated is totally justified.
Sure.
And we have been too. If you've been listening to the Gas House Gang for the last 66 days when we've been doing them, you're hearing all of that angst and frustration, and you're hearing the criticism. But we can't regurgitate every single bit of it every time we tweet. I can't include it all in each Twitter thread. It's not possible.
Well, Kevin, I'm going to head to Florida. And this is going to be the final time we see each other for about a month.
For about a month. Yeah. Yep. Have a good time down there.
We'll talk. We'll still do this
Get
if possible.
The sleep.
I'll do my best. That's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. This is it for Sports Open Line, originating from St. Louis. I'm out Monday for traveling. I'll be back Tuesday from Jupiter. Look forward to talking to you. Thanks to everybody for being tuned in. St. Louis University Billikens basketball, big one tonight. They are matched up against St. Joseph's. Our coverage begins in just a few moments with Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. And have a great weekend. Have a great Super Bowl. We'll talk to you next week here on KMOX.